Okay. We've been doing some very interesting things. I've been getting a lot of chizuk from the Olam. See, guys are really working to develop, to move forward in areas that, like we said, will very much affect how we build our homes, how we are as husbands, how we are as fathers, areas that at some point a person somehow, Be'ezus Hashem, fixes up. Somebody asked me a kasha, he goes, yeah, but, 80-year-old people are not like this. At some point, and it's not true. If you get to know some 80-year-olds, Rafinkel corroborates with this, they're acting still like they're in fourth or fifth grade. They have a different vocabulary, but the same type of ridiculous pettiness in areas of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And we've been focusing on one particular sugya, which is the key to Shalom Bayis, as the Rambam Shtel Devek in Hilchas Ishus, Perek Tes Vav, that the Yisod is covered, being machabed one another, a husband to a wife, a wife to a husband. Every house that's a healthy home is built on a certain amount of respect. And if people are not respecting of one another in the very basic areas of life as a bacher, so then this higher level of kavod, this higher level of respect, which is necessary for a healthy home, will be a total dismal failure, without any type of shadow of a doubt, no suffix whatsoever. So last time we talked about calling out, making people feel like they're zeros, non-factors, one-liners. Onos Dvarim, the Maharal says, is making someone feel like he's a joke, like he's a nothing. So I hold that the etzem, the success of anything is just the diagnosis. People say, so now what? How do you work on it? The answer is no. Once you know how bad it is, that's already three-quarters of the battle. The way it works is once you see, wow, usually we just go like a freight train most of our lives. If you just stop and say, whoa, this is not what I realized it was, nibble peh, like we said a few weeks ago, ranking people out, this is more serious. That's usually three-quarters of the battle. But I would like to help everyone along, myself very much included, in working on this. And the way to work on it is to go the opposite way. If the way of the world today is to put people down, the more of a clever one-liner, the more of a it makes you a greater person, then we're going to work on being positive people. Being a positive person perhaps is the most essential midah for a person. People think it's like, oh, I'm just happen to be a pessimist. I just happen to be a negative person or whatever it is. No. That's a person who's somebody who, be'etzem, is someone you don't want to hang around, you don't want to be with. He's lacking health. A pessimistic person is not a realist. He's a person who sees everything with a gray cloud and rain coming down. And he's a killjoy. He's a chill killer, whatever you want to call him. But he's somebody who has an unhealthy look at life. So now we want to see what it is to be a positive person. When you're around people who are not positive, unfortunately, if you go into their homes, they bicker a lot. People who bicker and bicker. I once had a couple around me. I couldn't have them in my house. The amount, I couldn't believe that if I had one day with my wife like this, it would be a disaster. And this is obviously how they've been going on for years. Bickering. It's like, I couldn't handle it. Where does it come from? Just a negativity. Everything is, this is negative and that's negative. And just dialogues like this, it literally, I felt bad for them that they have to live in such a situation. The health of a person is being positive. There's no such thing as saying it's a personality to be negative. That's not a personality. A person should be positive. And not only that, but it's a form of intelligence. It's a form of intelligence, yes. It's not just an attitude towards life. It's a form of intelligence. And the raya is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says a very strange thing. He says, and the Chovos HaVavos says something similar, that there were two people, an Adam Echad and a Chacham, a wise man and a guy, a regular guy. They were in front of a nevela, which is a carcass of an animal. Amara Adam, kama musrachas nevela zu. Ugh! This carcass smells terrible. That's an obvious point. Fine. Amar HaChacham, the wise man said, Kama Levonim Shinah. How white are its teeth? It's a very strange dialogue, okay? Rabbeinu Yonah says, the regular guy says this thing smells. And the wise man, not the guy who's like, yeah, it's beautiful, everything's amazing. The wise man says, how white are its teeth? This is beyond me. I really don't understand what's going on here. And I'm not even going to tell you, I fully am going to be able to explain it to you. But what is Rabbeinu Yonah saying over here? A wise man is someone says how white its teeth is? How white its teeth are? What's going on? And the answer is Pashat, that it's a form of intelligence. There are always situations where a person can see flaws, can see problems. And that doesn't make you big, it doesn't make you someone who discovered something great. Those are the obvious things. You know, when you're little, we have little kids, Baruch Hashem, you show a little kid a ball and you show it to him, and he's little, he's two, he goes, ball! And you go, yay, that's very good, man. And then he goes, dolly! And you go, yay, right? Right, because it's a big deal to see what's in front of you when you're little. But when you get older, right? So when you come in front of a carcass and you go, carcass! No one's applauding you, Rav Osai. It's a no-brainer what's in front of you. The Chacham says, okay, I'm confronted with something here that either I'm just going to pass by, or is this something here that I could highlight? Something that I will grow from? Something that will move me? Something that will take me to another level? A wise man is someone who changes things, who fixes things, who understands how to deal with problems, how to find solutions. A few years ago, there was someone who won an award in one of the major airlines. They were hitting some very serious financial problems. Saved the company millions of dollars. How? Very simple point. She noticed that every salad on this airline has an olive on top of it. One little olive. It's not really a big star in the salad. One little olive. That's it. She realized that the company spends millions of dollars on this olive. Take it off. She won a major award. Imagine that. She was able to find that thing. That's a chacham. A chacham is someone who looks at something and finds the nakuda. Boom! Over here. Sometimes the most simple nakudas, but that's gufa the chachma. Things that are out of the box. Everyone else is probably going through the books and this and that and figuring out how they can change the flight schedules and this and the gas and that. And there's this little olive there. That's a chacham. A wise person is able to find ways of fixing things, ways to make things positive. Paro says about Yosef that there's nobody who's a chacham v'navan kamo. Nobody as smart as him. I would like to posit Pashat. Paro wasn't just saying that about his interpretation of the dreams. Okay, it was true that he needed an interpretation for his dreams. But you know what the chachma was? Yosef had a solution. He didn't just tell him the problem. A lot of people, this time, nobody could tell the problem. But the problem is not what makes the wise man. The wise man is the one who has a way of moving forward, of some positive way of seeing things in order to create a matzav where things will go, will happen. And the negative person just sits there in the back of the shul complaining until he's 80 or 90 years old. And you'll see these people. They're sitting there, the same people. They have not moved from their seat. And they're not doing anything. They're just, Paul, Dolly, we know that about these people. We know the problems in the shul. Thank you very much. You are very insightful. We would like to solve, he's not going to solve them. He's just going to chew your ear off about every tiny he has on his friends, on his rebbes, on his yeshiva. And it's a lack of intelligence. It's the simplicity of life, the problems. The great man and the wise man is someone who's able to be mesaken and see weiter. And not only that, it's a true sign of greatness as a person in areas of leadership. The Chovas HaLevavos says in Shar Kniya, Perek Yud, Shol Echad Mechacham, they asked one of the wise men, I'd like to be medayik in this lashon. How did you become a master over your peers? It sounds like he was a leader. He wasn't just a great man. He was an adon on the entire door. So he says, this is my trick. Lo pagati achad mehem. I never met a person. Shalo reisi lo maila yisera lai. That I couldn't find that they had something greater than me. some personality trait, some element of their existence that made them above me. If he had more wisdom, interesting, that wasn't enough of a mila. If he had more wisdom, I assumed he had more Yerushamayim. If he was less than me in Chachma, he says, well, according to how much Chachma he has, he's living up to his potential. I have more Chachma, and I'm not living up to that. And he says, if this person was mazed, then if this one's mazed, this one's shogeg, if he's a gadol mimeni, if he's older than me, he's got more mitzvahs. If he's younger than me, then younger person, he's got less averus. He's mashgal. And he says, this is the secret to success. You know why? It's very simple. And we all know this about ourselves. We only like people who like us. I'm telling you, I've never seen a breaking of this cloud. I've never seen anyone gravitate to a Rebbe. Friends we'll get to in a second. Gravitate to a Rebbe at least. Who, if you think the Rebbe doesn't like you, no one will. I won't, you won't. The basic nakuda of starting a relationship with somebody is that you feel that you're liked. You feel like this person sees something in me. Then you gravitate towards him. And the Chovas Avoda says this was his secret to success. Everyone would follow him. Because he saw the greatness. He was able to find it, and it was difficult sometimes. And that was part of his greatness. Perhaps that was his greatness mamish. And then there are the people who aren't this way. And these people do not have friends. And I'm telling you they don't have friends. I'm not just telling you from my knowledge. I'm also telling you from conversations that I have with people. I speak to a lot of people all day. It looks like I'm learning. I'm usually schmoozing. Learn on the side. I'm schmoozing with people. And I can tell you unequivocally, without any shadow of a doubt, that nobody likes negative people. I like to play tricks on very negative people. They come to me and they're schmoozing. And I say, tell me something. Do you have friends? They always go like this. They start looking up to the clouds. Yeah, I have friends. Start getting like, I think. Like, what's the insecurity? The answer is you have a lot of friends. And at your chasana, you're going to have hundreds of people there dancing. But you know why they're dancing? Just because they don't want to be involved in your negativity. They're worried that if they don't come to your chasana, you're going to say something about them. They're following you. They're going here with you. They're going on this off Shabbos to do that. They're afraid of you. They don't like you bichlal. It's impossible to forge a relationship that's real with someone who is negative. And then that guy gets married, and all of a sudden his wife can't stand him because wives are not so forgiving. He goes, I don't get it. I had so many friends in yeshiva. Buddy, you didn't have any friends. It was pure convenience. They were intelligent for following you because they didn't want to deal with you. A person who's positive forges relationships. And even with the Rabbono Shalom, I wanted to say B'derek Remes, right before Kriya Shema, you know what we say? Hashem loves us. Ohev Amo Yisrael. Hashem loves us. You know why we say that Hashem loves us? Very simple. You know what we're about to say in Kriya Shema? That you should love Hashem. V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha. I can't love Hashem. It's true. We're supposed to. But you know what? It's natural. First, if I want to love Hashem, I have to first realize how much Hashem loves me. That's the introductory stage to the relationship is, Ohev Amo Yisrael, Hashem loves me. If so, then we can forge a relationship. But if I see that this person is not interested in me, Bichlal, it will not happen. And it's an issue of intelligence. It really is. It's not just that the person has a positive attitude. The person is moving. He's doing. And you'll see in life, he'll go much further. He'll go much further in all areas. There's a mitzvah called Dan Lekavschus, okay? Dan Lekavschus means giving people the benefit of the doubt. Says the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, he says, Yesh bo od shiroi ladin es chaver lekavschus. There's a mitzvah min haTorah, mitzvah kufay in Zion. What do you do? Lo yifarish ma'aseh v'dvarav. You should only interpret what people do. Ela letov v'lechesed. You should interpret everything people do in a positive way. Give me a break. Give me a break. The Torah is telling us to be naive. The Torah is telling us to be like these people who are like in outer space, that everything's just amazing and whatever. Come on. There's a mitzvah in a Torah to do this, though. So we have a problem over here. The Torah is telling me not to be a realist. The Torah is yasher. It's straight. Everything the Torah tells us is to be straight. But it seems like this mitzvah is telling me to be a total fool. In Israel, they call it a friar, which means somebody who gets fooled for everything that happens. Come on, to be a realist. Let's be real. But the pshat is wrong. That's not what the Torah is saying. The Torah is not telling you to think backwards. The Torah is not telling you to live in the clouds. The Torah is telling you the following thing, that it doesn't matter what this guy did. That's your mistake. You think that when you're judging someone favorably, that the issue here is to know what he did? It doesn't matter what he did. He did whatever he did. Let Hashem know what he did. But why are you always in the gutter? Why, when you see somebody walk into a McDonald's, don't you assume that he's getting a Coke? Why don't you assume that? Who cares whether he got a cheeseburger? That's not the point. The point is, are you a positive person? The Torah demands that you would want for every person their reputation, that you would want to see them in a certain light. The Michtam Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, says we do this for ourselves all the time. We are the biggest Dalmakov Schuss people for ourselves in the morning, right? You know, we press that snooze button. If our Roomba does, hey, you press that snooze, what are you doing? For us, I was going to die. I was going to die if I didn't sleep for 5 more minutes. Perfectly logical to me. What, you don't think I was going to die? I was going to die. We all believe that, right? When we press that snooze, it happened to me this morning. No, actually, I forgot to set my alarm. I didn't press the snooze today. But it happens. But it was sakonas nefashis mamish. But when it comes to the other guy, with quartz precision, we're judging that person. Why? Because we don't like them enough. If we liked them, we would be positive. We want them to eat the cheeseburger in McDonald's. We want that that's what happened. We want that our Rebbe has a certain plan to mess us over. We want that our friends are out to get us, and when they went on this chill, they didn't invite us on purpose. We want that. We love problems. But a person who really has relationships is somebody who would want a certain reality. The Torah doesn't care what happened. The Torah wants you to be a positive person. And I'll bring you a raya. Perhaps you'd say this is a raya fakert. And I'm telling you it's not. The Gemara says in Shabbos, on Kuf Chav Zayin, there's a story of a man, and it happens to be that the Yerushalmi says this was Rabbi Akiva before he learned Torah. He was a man who was looking to get his wages. Adam Echad Shiyarin Megala Elyon V'nischar Etzel Baal Bayis, he was working hard 3 years, and now he's waiting for his wages, and the Baal Bayis says, sorry, I can't pay you. Fine. The whole story over here, and this man keeps being Dan Lekaf Schuss. Until finally, the guy says, I have nothing to pay you, absolutely nothing. And he leaves, and then later he pays him back, and he says, tell me something. Why were you okay with this? He says, I was Dan Yulikav Schuss. So the Gemara ends, finally, what did he do? He says, I assumed that you were makdish all of your nechasim to the Beis HaMikdash, and you had nothing left. All of it was hektish. And he says, you're right. That's what I did. I was makdish all my nechasim. Wow. So you know what this Gemara teaches us? How great this guy was. He was able to figure out the true thing that happened over here. Because he was dan lekaf schuss. What did he think? That he was makdish all of his nechasim to Shemayim. And he was right. So you see that dan lekaf schuss has to do with knowing the real reality. And the Torah is teaching you that this is what happened. Well, let's read the rest of the Gemara. The Gemara over here says that he asked for different ways of being paid. He said, tamely peiris, let me have fruits. Tamely karka, let me have land. Tamely behema, give me an animal. Tamely karmic sasas, give me pillows and blankets. So he says, in all these areas, on the way to before he came to Hekdesh Min HaShemayim, he says, when you didn't have peiris, when you told me you didn't have fruits, he says, oh, I assumed that you had to do this. When you didn't have money, I assumed that you had a business deal over here. You had to take care of a business deal over here. All these different examples until finally there was nothing left. And he went, pah! He was makdish as nechasim Min HaShemayim. Which means that every single part of this Gemara would never happen, except for the last one. This man, who was Rabbi Akiva before he started learning Torah, had like 5 or 6 shots at interpreting what happened. When he said he had no money, he assumed, oh, it's a business deal. Fruits, oh, the animals, this, that. All of a sudden, he runs out of options. Hektish mishmayim. That means he was wrong. For the most part of this Gemara, all the things that he was down the cops close never happened. There was no business deal that he had to give away all his money that he couldn't pay his workers. It never happened. Finally, he got it right at the end. Big deal. You see that the Torah wants you to interpret things positively. It doesn't matter what happens. It matters about the health of the person, the health of the individual. The insight is that a person should be positive. I had a friend. He went to Canada. Lost track of where he is. His wife, Rachman Elton, she's fine now, Baruch Hashem. But she stuck her finger. Her finger got stuck in a blender. It's okay. Everything's fine. She's fine now. But you know, being that Mashkiach type of guy I was, even in the younger years before I was doing this, I asked him, is there anything you learned from this experience? I mean, he was like Mr. Mom for like, you know, it's amazing. When the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you all of your Eivarim, takes away a little pinky for a while, a person can be totally incapacitated. It's incredible. See, so I would think he learned the importance of his wife, the importance of having all of your limbs, and all these nice things. He said to me the most fascinating thing, which is hard to forget. He said, you know, when I was in Kailo, there would be these guys who would walk in at 10, 10:30, and I looked at them, and I'm like, ah, that guy, you know, he coasts in here his whole life. He's like a, you know, a playboy type of guy. He comes in, comes out. He's not doing anything with himself. He goes, now I'm that guy. I can't finish helping out at home until 10, 10:30. He goes, and I wish somebody would not look at me that way. I come in there, I wish somebody would see me different. He goes, I learned how to see people. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. It has nothing to do with what the guy is. But it's an idea of wanting something to be true about somebody. Wanting to have a different perspective. But we're so the opposite all the time. We are so negative. We're calling out on the most trivial things that our friends do. The most tiny things we find problems with. Things that are for sure not even problems with Bichlal. We interpret them in ways, just like there's a sugya of Dan Lakav's Klus in this Gemara. We do the opposite. We work so hard to see things negatively. We work so hard to see that people who are giving their lives to us are not doing anything for us. Our parents, our teachers, whatever the case may be. We work so hard the opposite way. And I think there's a message here. Why was it Rabbi Akiva before he learned Torah? To teach you that you don't need to be the Gaon HaAdar. You just need to be a healthy person. Even Rabbi Akiva before he learned Torah already had this positive attitude towards people. And really, there's a sad part to this sugya, which is that people who think they're so insightful when they find the problems of other people, they're really doing something else. Says the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner's son, Rav Itzel Volozhiner in a Haggah. He says, "Kemayim panim lepanim came lay to Adam Adam." Just like the reflection of water, the pasuk in Mishlei, is to a person. That's how hearts communicate. What does it mean? Whoever is poisel b'mumo, as the Gemara in Kedushin says, someone who's poisel someone else, someone who points out a problem in someone else, he's pointing out his own flaw. And says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, Rav Itzler Volozhiner, his son, he says he's looking in the mirror. He says a lot of times we think that there are problems by other people, but it's really because we're so engrossed in that problem. We're so living in that tumah that we see it by everyone else and nobody else has it except for us. But we think it's so obvious it's by them, but really it's by us. And he says that a person, there's a halacha that kol ha-negayim adam roeh chutz mi-negayi atmo. There's a halacha in negayim, in seeing mitzora, the blemishes on his skin, that you're allowed to look at other people's blemishes and paskin them, but you're not allowed to paskin your own. And he says a vart that I would think is a chassidish vart, but it's in a litvish sefer, it's from Chaim Volozhiner. He says, amazing, kol ha-negayim adam roeh chutz, whatever blemishes you see outside of yourself, may negoi asmo, they're your own problems. Why do you see them? Because that's where you're holding. People think I'm naive if I don't see problems. No, I'm healthy, I'm clean if I don't see problems. If when people confront me, what's obvious about them is their positive qualities, it means I'm healthy. If not, it means I'm so entrenched in my tumah that I hear things like that. I see things like that. I'm totally in the gutter. And when a person's in a house like this, he sees this in his wife. He sees this in his kids. Innocent people are his victims. He's convinced that the kid is not applying himself in school. It's not true. Why is he convinced of that? You know why? Because he never applied himself. And he feels like that's the most obvious problem. So therefore he goes like that. And he accuses that way. And he's convinced of all sorts of things. But where is it coming from? It's coming from his lack of health. It's coming from a nakuda of koa posel ba'atzmai. He's posseling with himself. I once saw a bacher many, many years ago. He was screaming, not in this yeshiva. He says, "Why can't people act like menschen, like human beings in the dining room?" He didn't like the way people take food and all these things. Fine. Okay, very nice. It was very interesting. He got so upset about it. Okay, I didn't even see what was going on. I mean, I was in Kailo, I was looking around, everything seemed okay, but he was like, this was just terrible. Then, a few days later, I saw him, he took one of these trays, and you know, everybody, there's like piles of trays, you know, this guy wasn't okay with the piles. He took that tray like a frisbee, and he knocked all the trays on the floor. That's how he finished his lunch, he just left the room. I understood quite well why he flipped out about people's lack of manners. Because that's where he's holding. There was no lack of manners there. He was living as a mushkas. He was living like an animal. So everything he saw by other people was exactly what he was. And sometimes we can be so dumb in these areas. I'll tell you a personal maisa. Personal situation that I had. One time I went to shul many years ago. And I went to what's officially the late minyan, but not the late minyan. The late minyan is one you're okay being seen at. And the late minyan is right after that, they are not feel uncomfortable being seen at. Fine. So I went to the late minyan, right? The late minyan, usually you have to go to a Hasidish place just to get the late minyan, but still not the late minyan. Fine, so I went to the late minyan. And then I saw my neighbor, who was a guy from Brisk, Vahule, very big Talmud Chacham, he was at the late minyan. Ooh. So now I did my tzidkus, I looked away, you know, didn't want to see him, so he shouldn't be embarrassed, but that guy, he's at the late minyan, you know. Fine. Okay. I come home from shul, and this was my neighbor, okay, fine. My wife comes and says, "You're not going to believe what happened." "What happened?" Says, "We had a dead rat in our laundry room." Okay. Now, anyone who knows me, if I was home, I would need an astronaut to get this. Even then, I wouldn't touch this thing. Okay? I wasn't home, Baruch Hashem. But guess what? My neighbor, who was leaving for shul exactly the same time as me, a photo finish, who would be first, was running out, and my wife comes out screaming, "Rat, rat!" And he was busy cleaning up my mess. And I'm telling you, I would have skipped shul that day. I have no suffix. No shul that day. I would just said Kriya Shema and hope for the best, because I've got a rat. I would sit there, and my wife would be like, "Why are you meditating for 5 hours? She's getting the car. She's getting it. And here, look. I was making this tzidkus, I'm not going to see my name. You idiot! What are you doing? You hold of this guy. He's a Talmud Chacham Muflag. He's a great guy. He's somebody who is stellar midos and stellar shmiras halacha. And look at you idiot! Why are you like this? He's cleaning up your mess, and you have to remember these things. You have to remember these things. But this is the way to be, Rabbosai. These are the great people. These are the people that you really gravitate to. If you think of the people that you really like in life, they're like this. They are. The people that you can't stand, but for convenience you're friends with, they're the way we've been talking about in the other sugyas. And if a person changes his tune, I guarantee you, your friends won't even be able to rank you out in the same way. Once you're a positive guy, they sort of are afraid of you. They actually have covered for you. They actually will respect you in a way that they won't be able to touch you anymore. So if you think that you're breaking out and it's a risk, it's not a risk. They'll be humbled by you. They won't actually know what to do with you, Bichlal. We have to get out the negativity. We have to get out. There's a lot of negativity that we have, and I think a lot of it comes also from the nibble peh. Nibble peh itself, like we spoke about, it's pure sewage. Okay, most of the words are from sewage. Okay, it's pure sewage. A person who speaks this way will never become a positive person. will never be. We were pointing out in the, we have a small little VOD, once a week, we pointed out, you can't even get angry at people on such a high level if you don't speak Nibble Peh. Try it. You're so obnoxious, mean, not nice. You can't use those words when you're angry. You'll see, you'll feel like so dumb, you'll just stop being angry. You need all those terrible, you're that goes. But if, why can't you get angry the other way? You know why? Because it's a stira to positivity. Your mouth is being is censoring that negativity, so you're not allowed to go there. You won't have a way to getting there, bichlal. We should all be zocha to do a serious cheshbon nefesh. This is a life-saving issue, guys. We're done with the shmuzin. We're moving on. I'm very attached to this series, but we must move on. Purim's coming. We got to prepare. But we have to think about this. It's true we do this once a week, but you have to listen to this again. Think about it. Talk about it with your friends. Find out what you're like, how you behave in the dorms and all these things. Let's get this. Be'ezrat Hashem, everyone should build a bias. Thank you.